Clap.
Okay, episode two of the Back of the Shul podcast, the fastest growing from podcast. Yoni Z is still recording our intro music, so we'll wait on that. Today, we have a great interview with the very funny Aim Humor. You'll also discover his identity, who joined us also for a great Mizrach Vant. Just a point of note, people have been asking, we are available on Apple Podcasts now, and I think we're something like 13th in the religion category. So basically, if you don't subscribe, download, unsubscribe, delete, resubscribe, and re-download, you're basically a missionary spreading Christianity because we have to beat those podcasts. Okay, so share it with your friends, share it with your enemies. The 3 weeks are not here yet, so you could still have enemies, so you could share it with them. And just before we get into the episode, a sponsor. So we are presented by Ossie's with 7 year-round locations, Ossie's Fish, 7 year-round locations in the tri-state area, 2 upstate, and another one in your home. How was that, guys? That was pretty good, no?
That was good.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Ossie'sFish.com, Instagram. Shavuos is coming. Spice it up a little bit with a little Ossie's Fish. Okay. So this is the pre-Shavuos special, and I think we were discussing a little bit, just a little bit behind the scenes, we were discussing whether or not to do a pre-Shavuos special. People are, you know, we said that people are busy. I think of it like this. On Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to eat matzah, so you eat it with an appetite. So on Erev Shavuos, you shouldn't be learning. So you can learn with an appetite come Shavuos night. So listen to this instead. And on that note, guys, we'll bring Menachem and Joe in. 49 up, 49 down. You guys ready for Shavuos?
Yeah, as if we're 49 up and 49 down. Guaranteed at least some of us have missed at least one, because not everybody looks at their phone. You know, they daven Ma'ariv quickly, and then they don't look at their phone before everybody posts their tonight is status. And guaranteed that, at least for me, that I missed a few for sure. But we're definitely ready, that's for sure.
Well, I've actually made every single one, even though I almost missed the last night tonight because I had to daven Ma'ariv earlier so I could record this podcast. So I really did almost miss this one. I just remembered it right before now. So that's nice.
We should move into our new segment, which is Ben Gavra LeGavra. So just to explain what the segment is. So Ben Gavra LeGavra is basically when you have a semi-controversial opinion, but, you know, it's just between me and you. Nobody listens to this podcast anyway. So, guys, just being gavra legavra, I don't like Shavuos. I find it to be I don't really like it. Now, I should preface this by saying...
Wait, one second. Like, what is not to like about Shavuos? I guess you're
going
to explain.
Okay, so let me explain. Yeah. Let me go off a little bit. I want to preface this by saying, I absolutely love learning. I love learning, but I hate Shavuos. What's the appeal? Okay, let's break this down. First, let's talk the premise of the all-nighter, right? So because people fell asleep like 3,000 years ago, now the ticket is to like load up on 700 milligrams of caffeine and spend the night in the John. Like that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. And then there's also the pressure of staying up, right? So let's just take the other Shalosh Regalim. Like by Sukkos, if you choose not to eat in a Sukkah, like let's say you do the whole Shahakal thing, no one's like, oh, what a loser, he's not going in the Sukkah. It's just like, okay, yeah, he doesn't want to go outside. And Pesach, if you don't eat matzah, so people are like, I don't know, maybe he has a gluten allergy, right? But Shavuos, there's such pressure to stay up, and it's the only one where if you don't do it, everyone's like, oh, what a loser, right? This guy can't make it. And then after you do this whole like religious version of a frat pledge by like staying up the entire night, your reward the next day is basically the baked good dream of every middle-aged woman. This whole holiday makes no sense. Shlomo, and that's why I don't like it.
For all those listening who don't know Shlomo, he hasn't had dairy in how long?
I don't know, it's been a while, but who cares about that?
How long has it been? The bottom line is, what's the appeal?
Tell me what the appeal is. The bottom
line is, it's a midweek. You don't have to worry about the 8-day, 9-day business. It's a 2-day holiday. You quickly get in. You eat good food. You sleep a lot, and then you just go back to your regular life. It doesn't require massive advanced preparation, and there's no real restrictions on it.
Okay, Shlomo, I think you're thinking way too much into this, and I think you're making a much bigger deal about this than it actually is. Because really, the first night is not that big of a deal. It's really the length of I don't know, maybe a little bit longer than a normal first Seder. And it's not like you really learn much in a regular first Seder anyway.
I understand, but it's the context of it. Like, if the whole point is to learn for a few hours, then why can't I just do it during the day? I like to learn, but just not at 1 a.m.
So I think maybe the difference is that I don't like to learn and I like Shavuos. So I mean, at night I stay up.
That is quite a combo.
I mean, I do learn at night usually, but I'm saying after the first night, it's done. That's the thing, is that most Yom Tovim, there's a lot of, for example, Sukkot and Pesach. So Sukkot, for the entire Sukkot, you have to eat in a Sukkot. Anywhere you go, you have to think, well, am I eating in a Sukkot? Pesach, you can't just get anything. You have to think, well, am I able to eat this? Am I able to eat that? Everywhere you go, you have to bring something. Shavuos, all you're doing, the first night is annoying, I'll give you that, but the rest of the Yom Tov is great. There's no long davenings like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no restrictions like Sukkot and Pesach. And also, cheesecake is awesome. So,
no, it's not.
Come on. Are we really going to do this? Are we going to have to break up the podcast over this?
I just think that to have that as the attraction and the focal point of a holiday, cheesecake,
it's that good.
Okay, so if we can't agree on cheesecake being amazing, then this is a problem.
Let me back up a second. Okay, so you're saying that by Sukkot, not, let's say I told you I didn't eat in a sukkah today, or you're with me, right, and I pull out a bag of pretzels. We are somewhere where I can be in a sukkah, and I pull out like a bag of pretzels, and I say, yeah, I'm just not eating in the sukkah. Are you going to judge me? Chances are not that much.
Way more than I would if you don't stay up on Shavuos night, if you're eating pretzels outside the sukkah.
I
cannot disagree with you.
No, to Shlomo's point, there's a big difference in the Jewish world between judging someone about something regarding halacha and judging someone with regards to something like this. The societal pressure is much worse.
I do understand what you're saying in regards to that, but I don't know. That was just not something that ever bothered me. I don't know. I mean, for me, everything else, all the good things about it override that one small part of it. And maybe you could say it's not a small part, but there are other stuff. Like, after that, everything is great. Cheesecake is great. And I don't know if you ever had dairy strawberry shortcake, but there was one time I was in Israel and I was eating by these people who they had a dairy meal and they had cheesecake and dairy strawberry shortcake for dessert. It was one of the best things I've ever tasted in my entire life. I just have such great memories that are combined with Shavuos. I don't understand how someone could hate Shavuos. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, Shlomo, do you have a problem with the second day of Shavuos?
Yeah, of course I do. You're all sluggish from the first day, right? It kills your entire week. Okay, this year it's a little better. It's on a weekend, but it kills your entire week.
I don't know. I mean,
okay, you know what? Let me pose this, Joe. Sorry to cut you off. Let's quickly power rank the Yom Tovim. Okay, this is not a Mizrachvant. This is a power ranking.
Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Honestly, one second. Yom Kippur, I was thinking, is Shavuos my favorite Yom Tov? So it might be, but
what?
Listen to me. I think Yom Kippur actually might be the best because when it's happening, you know that it's not happening for another year. Like, you know you don't have to deal with any of this for another year.
No slichas,
no Rosh Hashanah, no Aseres Yimei Tshuva. This is not happening for another year. So the feeling on Yom Kippur is great, but like in regards to enjoying the actual Yom Tov itself, it might be Shavuos because it's the only Yom Tov where you don't have so many other different things to worry about.
I really don't think it's a hot take at all. Yeah, it's not. Menachem, and I'll back you up on that. Sukkot, there's always a catch with every Yom Tov. I've always complained about the fact that in Yiddishkeit, well, I do love the Yom Tov, but there's always a catch.
There's always a catch. That's why, like, I think Shavuos has the lowest catch
out
of all.
There is. I'm talking about like you know, Dairisa. holidays. Like,
you're not really leaving as much to work with then.
What are you talking about? You have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos. If you were talking about like a power ranking of those five, and I get it, like Purim would be probably number three on my list, but if you were to power rank it, so for me, it's Pesach. Number two would probably be Rosh Hashanah. I actually do very much enjoy Rosh Hashanah. Number three would probably be Sukkot. Number four would be Yom Kippur, and Shavuos would be dead last.
I don't understand how you could say that. How could you enjoy Sukkot more than Shavuos?
Because Sukkot, I'll tell you why. It's all about context. Everything in life is about context. So Sukkot, it's right after, you know, you just had the brutal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Elul Slichus season. You'll deal with anything. Okay, you have to. Okay, we're gonna have a holiday coming up. All right,
it all depends on the context. But
let me finish. So if you have like Sukkot, right? If someone came to you after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and said like, okay, I got a third holiday. First of all, you'd be like, ugh, I hope it's not like the previous two. Okay, so then they say, no. You get to eat whatever you want. I know 5 days ago you couldn't, but what you're gonna have to do is you're gonna have to stay outside while you do it. You'd be like, you know what? Done. I don't care. How long is the davening going to be? It's maybe going to be like 2.5 hours. Fine. It's shorter than the previous few. So even if there are catches, you know, it's still the catches aren't, they're not so severe. That's why I think it's good, especially in context.
I understand what you're saying, but it's in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Like, yes, I completely 100% agree with you that Sukkot has that great feeling of we're finally, like, similar to what I was saying before about Yom Kippur, is that we're done with all this and now we have a good holiday. But it's not objectively, like, if you would put Shavuos, then that would be more enjoyable than Sukkot in Shavuos time.
Yeah, so? But that's the thing. It's not in a vacuum. Nothing's in a vacuum.
I disagree so much because I think we're looking at this from the perspective of like, oh, what are the downsides of the Yontif? You can't, if we're looking at just the downsides, obviously Shavuos has the smallest downside, but it also has the smallest upside. The best parts of Shavuos are worse than the best parts of other Yontif.
What good parts are there that are different about each Yontif? The only good part about each Yontif is that it's like Shabbos where we just don't have to do anything.
For me personally, I love the Seder, right? I absolutely love the Seder. So if you love the Seder, I like the Seder more than I like cheesecake. I'll tell you that much.
I could take it or leave it.
Understood.
I don't know.
But you also hate all people, so there is that.
Okay, I mean, this is why we're all different people. We all have different likes and dislikes. But I just cannot possibly fathom like what can be so bad about Shavuos. But whatever, I guess.
Okay, so then, yeah, how is this a safe space?
So you can say what you want.
Yeah, it's Ben Gavra Lagavra. Just very quickly, how would you power rank the Yomtide?
Are we talking about in a vacuum or the way it is?
The way it is.
The way it is, Yom Kippur is definitely first for the reasons that I mentioned.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I had a brain freeze for a second. Yeah, the way it is. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so meaning the way it is, Yom Kippur is number one because of the reasons that I mentioned before. Then probably Shavuos and Sukkot and Pesach.
This is just a trash list.
I don't know. I mean, Sukkot and Pesach could really go either way. They both have the, you know, I would say Pesach before Sukkot, just because on Pesach you can actually eat wherever you are. Just have to bring your own food, as opposed to Sukkot, where it's just a disaster every time you want to eat. And then obviously Rosh Hashanah dead last. I don't think our reasons could be different, more different.
I would go Pesach number one, Sukkot number two, Yom Kippur number three, Rosh Hashanah number four, Shavuos number five.
So you agree, Shavuos is dead last.
I do agree, but I think I'm the voice of reason here. I can, you know, I'm not saying Shavuos is dead last and it's the worst holiday. It's just not as good as the other holidays. But I think the two best things about Shavuos is cheesecake and the fact that it's so close to the summer. I think those are the two best things.
Okay, so I guess let's get to the interview with Amy Humer. A very funny interview. Again, there were some audio issues in there. Try to work around those. And I think we'll take it out to the end. You know, that interview will end with that interview. So first of all, thank you everybody for giving the feedback for the podcast. Really appreciate it. Keep it coming. And yeah, have a good yontif, everybody.
Like, subscribe, and unsubscribe, resubscribe.
Oh yeah, and if you want, you could tweet us at Back of the Shul on Twitter. Menachem, what's our Instagram handle?
I think the same thing.
Yeah, probably the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
All right, take care, everybody. Have a good yontif. Okay, ready? Let's go. All right, we now welcome on to the Back of the Shul podcast, the funniest man on from Twitter. It is, of course, Aim Humor, who for years has been lurking in the shadows, remaining anonymous. Can I say your name, Mr. Aim?
I mean, AY is fine. We can just go. Are we doing last name? Do we got to go there?
All right, it's AY. So just you can have a chance of getting your kid into yeshiva. It's AY.
Right. Well, I've said some questionable things.
Also, this way we can't play any Jewish geography, which is probably also always a good thing.
Yeah, it'll cut the first 45 minutes of the interview.
Right, yeah, we can do that later.
Jewish geography, that actually sounds like the name of a good from podcast, but not for this one. Okay, so I guess the first question that's all in our minds is, you're known for, obviously, for your very funny takes on Jewish life. So the first thing I guess we have to get out of the way is tell us a joke. Tell us a joke, funny man.
Make us laugh.
Can't really put me on the spot like that. But no, first of all, I do want to say that, like, I'm a Back of the Shul guy. I just want to throw that out there.
That was actually going to be my first question to you. I was going to ask you if you're a Back of the Shul or Front of the Shul guy. And if you said front, we were just hanging up right now. The interview was going to be
over. Yeah, no, there's no way. I mean, I mean, I'm right by the door. If the door's in the back, if the door's in the front, I just beeline right to the back. No, there's not. And if there's a ladies section, I'm in the ladies section. Like, if there's no ladies there, if there are ladies there,
we don't judge on this version. Podcast.
That's like the after hours version of this podcast.
Exactly. Okay.
So honestly, though, on a serious note, like how, I mean, a full disclosure for all those out there, I know AY from yeshiva. I know you always as a funny guy, but how did you get started with this and how did you build up this, this following?
So I didn't like go on Twitter to be like most of these people who join and be like, I'm going to be a funny guy. I was on Twitter. I think I went on to follow like just some political things and sports. I was following
Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro. Sorry.
It was a little bit of a Ben Shapiro phase that I had, but I'm past that now. Okay.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, it was a little bit. And then like, I realized that like, I don't know. And then all the Jews moved to Dave Portnoy and Barstool. So, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All the Bachrim went to Dave Portnoy now, or Ben Shapiro.
But here's the real question for you. As a Jewish celebrity, are you offended that you weren't asked to do a WhatsApp status for the Hatzalathon?
So I consider myself a C-list Jewish celebrity. So I don't really get asked to do anything. You know, I'm definitely like, I would say Shalom Rabashkin is A+, A list. And then you have, you know, up there Rechnitz and then like Benny
Ben
Friedman.
Shapiro.
And then you got like Ben Shapiro. Yeah. I mean, then you have like, we can go into like the top five Jewish celebrities if you want. But
next time you come up,
back to how I started with Twitter. So yeah. And then I don't know. I think I posted a couple of, no, I think I replied to a couple of Jewish guys there. I don't even remember who were leaving, probably Awkward Bacher. And like, you know, I didn't really know that there was like this thing to post Jewish jokes. And then I noticed a few accounts and I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me just post some jokes myself because why not? And I don't know. I just picked up and then I ended up like, now I totally don't even look at politics Twitter. I don't sports. There's no more sports. So there's nothing to even like, there are a bunch of people posting Yankees stories from 1992. So now it's just, now I don't really look through my feed on Twitter anymore. If I have something to say, I'll tweet it. But yeah, I don't know. I just ended up tweeting Jewish humor. It just caught on and people started following. And then I felt the pressure that now I need to be funny. And
that was actually going to be my next question was, do you feel when something happens legitimately, do you feel a pressure to tweet something?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes I got better at it. Like there was a time period where I had this like this need to constantly be posting every time a story happened. It got in my head. Like I needed to. I felt like I needed to post, and then I started realizing slowly that like I'm not getting paid to do this. Like no one's. I haven't gotten anywhere really in life because of it. So like if I don't have a funny joke to say about this at this point, then nothing is gonna happen to me. And actually, nothing has happened to me when I have held back from tweeting. So, yeah, basically, I mean, sometimes I do feel a pressure. Sometimes it's an annoying pressure. It's like I can't really explain it. It's just like
this is the perfect platform. What was something that you held back on that you want to get off your chest right now?
Oh, well, there's a lot that I can't say.
They don't know your last name.
It's fine. We'll cut it out. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just tell us. I'm not gonna use it.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot I wanted to say about being really happy about davening b'yechidus. But the best thing about this whole yechidus thing is that I could stay home, daven b'yechidus, and this time not feel guilty about it. Right. Because like I've been davening b'yechidus since Sukkot. But all along, I'm like, I should really be going to shul. And then this thing happened. I'm like, oh, this
is fine. Great. You just knew about it a lot earlier than everyone else. So
right. I was being really careful. So, yeah, I wanted to say things like that. But I'm not going to just go out there and put myself, you know, again, I want to get my kids into yeshiva if my name does, if I get doxxed by some weird reply guys from Twitter.
You just put out a list of the people that, you know, we're not gonna miss by Minyanim.
Right. Basically, if you're making exclusive Minyan, the people who you don't want there.
Right. But it went, I guess, semi-viral or viral. I don't know how to describe it, but I got it from a few different people, not a single one of whom credited you. As a guy who not necessarily, well, it's not your living, but as a guy who it's definitely a strong hobby. What is that? Does that make you upset? Are you just happy that the joke got out there? How does that make you feel overall?
So I had a conversation with someone else who posts on Twitter about this. And like, I do sometimes, when something like this happens, I'll post about it and be like, who did this? Or like, what the heck? It doesn't bother me as much as I put out there that it does. It really does bother me. Like, don't get me wrong. But I'm sort of also doing it for a lot of the other people who do create content. And some of these people, like especially on Instagram, are making a living out of it. Like I have a day job, but there are people who are like doing this for a living. And when you leave out their name and leave out their credit, it's really stealing their intellectual property, you know? And for me also, I'm building a little bit of a brand here with my humor. Hopefully I hope to make some money eventually off this. So yeah, having my name attached to it is good. It, like, you know, I'd like my you know, handle attached to it. But, you know, it's just an overall thing that goes on in the Jewish social media world is that everyone thinks that all this content is just like, here, we'll pass it around. And it came from nowhere and it just gets forwarded 70 times. And then you get it on every chat and like, you know, it loses, you know, and if there's no name attached, I don't know. It does bother me. And, you know,
yeah,
for the record, you did create a blow up on our shul WhatsApp chat when someone quoted it and another person on the chat got upset and said, you have to credit AIM Humor on this because it's too bad you had an opportunity to bring the Geula. And
yeah, I mean, it is a Gemara.
Yeah, no, it's true. You should. Right. The shame. I'm right. Yeah, I care about it. I really do. Like, you know, I'd like my name attached to it. And I was more excited that like a bunch of people were telling me they got it on set. Like, it means that I put out something good, even if my name is not attached to it, that it's going around. And Yeshiva World put it out and didn't put my name there. And Simcha Spa. And like, you know, it's cool. It's cool to have something that I created get out there. And I enjoy that either way, with or without my name. So like it's like bittersweet in a way, you know?
Anyway, do you remember the first tweet or comment or whatever it is that went semi-viral?
Yeah, the first one that I'm like that really got out there was my Tom Brady. Do you remember my Tom Brady tweet? Were you following me? You were one of my early followers. So
I actually was. Just for a little bit of context for everybody out there, I was following you for like a year, and I would constantly like screenshot your tweets and send them around to people, because it was like you were saying the thoughts that we were all thinking. And I would say, oh, this guy's hilarious. And then I think it was like last Pesach, I finally put two and two together who it was. but yeah, it was one of the early ones.
But it's funny. We used to talk comedy and yeshiva and stuff. So mm-hmm. like, yeah. But so the first tweet that got out there was the Tom, right after the Super Bowl, I tweeted out, Rabbi Sai, you think Tom Brady is really happy?
That and was you?
Yeah, and then I wrote every Masifta Rebbe this morning.
I remember seeing that all over. I didn't even realize that was you. That was,
that was my first.
You are a celebrity.
Yeah, a lot of these things that you've seen, I'm behind that. I just wasn't credited.
But, you know what you should do, by the way? Yeah. If you're going to keep your name, you know, in the background a little bit, you should take credit for like the Avera song and all that kind of stuff. You know, may as well take advantage of it.
That was me. I don't know if Shlomo remembers this. I used to go around and like when we were in yeshiva together, I like before that Vera song like really came out, I was talking about how I'm like addicted to shatnez. Like I had these like you know, no one knew that my blankets and pillows were pretty much wool and linen. You know, I couldn't hold back. So I don't know. Then the Vera song came out, and then like I, you know, lost my ear. But
So. This is something I want to move on to something because we have a shared passionate hatred of From LinkedIn.
Oh, yes. So,
okay, I was going to ask if you could kill Hitler or get rid of From LinkedIn, which would you choose? But I'm not going to put you in that tough spot. so instead, I'll ask if you can get rid of one thing from LinkedIn, what would it be? Not one person, because you can't stop at one. But if you could get rid of one thing from LinkedIn, what would it be?
Probably, I mean, I would have to either do a character limit or just videos altogether. Like the video, there's no one there posting anything of substance on a video. Like, look at those videos. I mean, this guy is doing like HVAC and he's talking about supporting the troops. Like, I don't even like, hi guys, what's up? My name is Mechi. I'm doing a job here right in front of this building. If you notice, there's no one walking outside because of COVID-19. Like, where are these guys going? So, yeah, I think the videos are probably the first thing to go. But there's so much. I mean, hashtags. They don't know what they're doing with these hashtags. I don't know. There's too much.
There should be. I guess maybe the solution would be for From LinkedIn would be right before you post something on From LinkedIn, there should be like a pop-up that says, do you really think people are interested in what you're saying? Give people a second chance, basically.
But it's you know, they're so self-centered. They don't realize that people don't care for this. Like, I saw a guy the other day. You probably saw it. A fairly popular From LinkedIn guy. I don't spend a lot of time, as Shlomo knows. I have a secret guy, a secret Elias that I use on on LinkedIn to.
You want to give it away around.
All right, Moses Lipo Weissman. Go look him up. Anyway, so I unironically post as him sometimes. So you know, like it's like these half serious posts and whatever. Anyways, there's this guy talking. This guy does like furniture. And he left like a 5.5 minute video talking about how you have to go to your local instead of going to Walmart and ShopRite, everybody should be going to the local mom and pop shops. Like, what? Who are you to tell me that? Like, what do you go to your mom and pop? What are you talking? Like, why are you telling me this? Go do your furniture business and don't worry about me, okay?
Yeah, but was that video taken in the car? Because then you're kind of obligated to listen.
No, so now there's this new thing that they do, the influencers, is they wear the AirPods and they walk in the trees in the forest. And like they're just like walking and the camera's shaking and they're making this serious face. So it was in the woods somewhere. I don't even know where. Muncie, probably.
But then it turns out that they're actually walking through the home and garden section of Walmart.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I really had a major question that I think, you know, you were talking about getting your kids into school, but this is a really pervasive question. Where were you sitting by the CMHS?
I was sitting, I don't remember this section. So,
where were you? Please tell me you were in MetLife.
Of course I was in MetLife. Okay.
Did you see Waldo, though?
AY, weren't you the first guy to see Waldo?
I was the first guy to bring it to Twitter, and that's why I went like viral. But I didn't even know that.
I was just asking because of Waldo. I did not know that.
I don't like the whole thing afterwards. Like, it was funny, it was cute, but I went chill, okay? The guy created a whole. He still. I think his profile on Twitter is still Waldo. Like, you did it. You're good. You know.
Waldo, if you're listening out there, come on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, like, it was funny. We enjoyed it. It was great. But like, you know, whatever.
I hear it. Menachem, do you want to go with the rapid fire before we move on to the Mizrachban?
Yeah, sure. The first question is iPhone or Android?
Android.
I was really hoping you were going to say something like
cue the judgments, kosher. Cue all the judgments.
Yeah, I was hoping you would take kosher phone or something.
the K phone. I my first smartphone was like the Galaxy S like 2 or whatever it was, and like I just haven't switched. I'm not like a big tech guy, so to me I just stayed. I don't know, you know. Sorry.
All right. I can't say that I'm not disappointed, but we'll move on to the next question. Okay, so the second question that I think is a very good judge of just people in general, should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, good. You redeemed yourself there.
And that was talking sports.
Yeah, he's the GOAT. It doesn't matter. No one could have done what he did, whether he was on steroids or not. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. All right. And the third and possibly most important question is, do you have blue check marks and last seen on your WhatsApp?
Of course.
Okay,
I'm not
good.
An idiot.
That's a sign of a confident man. All right, he's confident.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Or just a good.
I think I tweeted about this.
Yeah, the last two answers you gave definitely because as the questions went on, they got more important. The first question was, it's like I could an Android person doesn't have to be a bad person. Like there could be good people who are Android people, but people who don't have their blue check marks or last seen, I don't know. They're hiding something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's bad. There's something that guy's up to something, and you know, I think I once tweeted about it. Something about the blue chat, the leaping it off. It's a nasty thing to do. It's just it's a Meadows alert.
Dr. Meadows, he doesn't have his blue check marks.
Like, you know, that's grounds for anything. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're ready. We're all ready for the Mizrachban.
Yeah.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just introduce it. So this week's, or I should say today's, Mizrachban is special for Shavuos. In honor of Megillas Rus, where we have Boaz, or Boaz for my Chassidish listeners, and Rus. So Rus is a little bit more common, but the name Boaz outside of Israel is not very common. Yeah, and I think maybe in scattered and out-of-town communities across the country. I know I just sounded like a dumb New Yorker. So in honor of that, we're going to do the Mizrachban of Jewish names that aren't in use anymore. So let's let our guest go first. So we're going to do this snake draft style. So AY, you'll go first. Menachem, you'll go second. Joe, you'll go third. I'll bring up the rear. And we'll work our way back around, and hopefully we won't get lost. So
AY, you're fine with going first. I just want to make sure. If you only could go later so that you could see what we're doing, or you're pretty confident you got this down.
No, I'm confident. There's always one that has the first thing that came to mind when Shlomo posed the question was a name that I've always loved, and I've thought of naming my kid that, and then my wife didn't let. But Unklus, I'm obsessed with the name Unklus. So I, you know,
nice.
That's a very strong.
Yeah,
pick.
I mean,
Yeah. Very strong.
Right,
I don't even need to explain it.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty self-explanatory. Unklus is a fantastic name. I don't understand why.
Why there are no little Unkies walking around? I don't know.
I was actually just on that note. I was going to ask, what was the nickname?
Right, Unky. I mean.
Oh, for sure. It's got to be.
Yeah. Okay, so, and also, if he was an uncle.
Unky. Straight up.
Okay, for all those that are about to shut off the podcast because of that pun, just bear with us. Okay, next, Menachem, go.
All right. My first pick is going to be. So, it's going to be a little different than yours, but it's just the name that. I mean, there used to be a lot of Jews named this. There's not really anymore. I'm not really sure why, but my first pick is Adolf. For some reason, I don't know why, but I think around the mid-20th century, people stopped using it, but I can't imagine why.
By the way, I was once davening in a Young Israel. I don't know where, but one of the great things about the Young Israel is their in memoriam plaques that are on the wall, because you talk about distractions during davening. That is on a silver platter. So there was a couple of Adolfs, and you know, these usually the in memoriams on Young Israels that are like circa 1888. Oh, yeah. So
they haven't added new dead people since like 1981 to any of
you. You're being very generous there. I would say 1881.
And anyway, kind of where you are.
It's true, but there was a couple of Adolfs there. And I'm like, wow, you talk about this tweet didn't age well. This plaque did not age well.
You think that's bad? I think it's my father's uncle or something like that. I don't know. His name was Nazi. His name was Yitzchak, and they called him Ignatz and Nazi for short.
Oh, that's Hungarian. Ignatz is Hungarian for Yitzchak, I believe.
So I was right. It was Yitzchak. But yeah, they stopped calling him Nazi pretty quickly also. Probably around the same time where people stopped naming their kids Adolf. I don't know. Yeah. A lot of names just stopped being popular there.
Yeah, but Jewish last names could also get close to Hitler. So if you're like, you know what I'm saying? If your last Hitler. Name is like Heller or like, you know, something like Adolf, like, you know, if you're named Heller, Adolf was still a thing. You could name your kid Adolf Heller and people would be like, what the heck? And you'd be like, come on, it's funny.
It would be a great prank.
Yeah, it would. All right, Joe, what's yours?
My first pick is it's a somewhat interesting pick because it was never a person's name, but I still feel like it counts as a name, and that's Duchifas. For some reason, I always felt that Duchifas was an underused insult, right? If someone's really just being annoying and a fool and all that, you're such a Duchifas. I always felt like it's a name you can call people, but it's also, it would be a great name.
Yeah, but that's not a name that was ever Joe. That's like picking Mike Nugent in the second round.
I disagree.
Yusuf,
it's
you
one
know
of
that
great
you,
names.
You could have gotten this in the last round. Like
honestly, there's gonna be zero overlap. Let's be honest. There's so many.
All right, whatever. All right, Joe. You know what? Yeah. You don't even get a chance to explain that. Okay, I'm moving on. Okay,
I already explained it.
The all right. So my first pick, I get two, and then we'll work around. Hopefully, Joe will get better the second time around. My first one is Jesus. Jesus, not a Jewish name that's pretty used anymore. People forget he was a Jew.
It's just not used by Jews.
There's no one named Jesus. No. If anything, they're named Jesus, and it's not used by Jews. Exactly. That's
yeah. It's only Spanish people.
I hear that.
Yeah,
and tuna bagels on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Jesus Weisberg.
Yeah, Yoili, but the English name is Jesus. Okay,
yeah.
And my second pick, I probably, you know what, I'm actually going to move this up because this is third. So I'm going to move this up because I think I see where this is going. I'm going to go with Seymour. Seymour is a name that's not really used anymore. I was thinking about going with any of the Ors, like Theodore, Isidore, but I feel like Seymour just hasn't kept up with the times.
I hear that. I think it's the most stereotypical old, if you're telling a story about an old Jew. That's probably the most stereotypical name.
If you're telling a story about an old Jew and you forget the guy's name, you can just see Seymour and move on, and nobody's going to call you out on it.
No one will question it.
Honestly, I think the reason why people stopped calling people that was because of Seymour Butts. Like, because of that joke. I think that's the only reason why that name went out of style.
Maybe.
Okay, Joe, you go.
So I couldn't really decide between two of them. So I'm just gonna say them both because they're combined together. the only time that they're mentioned, which is Mupim and Chupim.
Those are good choices. The fact that
twins have not been named Mupim and Chupim is the greatest oversight possibly in Jewish history. I'm just saying.
I hear.
You know those two old guys in the Muppets? I always felt like their name was Mupim and Chupim.
Real? I feel like it's a younger person's name. I don't know why.
It could be.
I just always thought of it like that.
But. Probably a hipster name. All right, Menachem, you go.
All right, so my next name is going to be Zavola. Colin.
I've heard a few of those, though.
Really? I don't think I've ever met anyone named Zavolan. It's the only Shavit. Every other Shavit is a popular name.
Some people going around with Zevi are probably secretly Zavolan. They just don't want to.
That is a possibility. So if there are any, then maybe. But I've never heard anyone introduce themselves. Hi, my name is Zavolan.
I hear. It's certainly not that common.
Hold on. Menachem, think about it. If your name was Zavolan, would you ever introduce yourself as, hi, my name is Zavolan?
Okay, you raise a good point.
I feel like there should be a lot of people on LinkedIn who are going by Zavolan because, you know, they have money.
Right. Looking for a Yisachar partnership, if anyone is interested.
Yeah. All right, AY, you got the next two.
Okay. So there's a name. It's like an old American name, Hyman.
Oh, I had that on my list.
Really? Hyman?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that just fell out of favor, yeah.
I'm sorry. But, I mean, I also, like, I don't know, what was it? Chaim? I don't know.
Yeah.
If we should bring that, like, probably look on LinkedIn if there's a Hyman.
I'm pretty sure that
I've seen a plaque with a Hyman Hyman. I'm fairly
sure. Joe, we both saw it.
Yeah.
There is. And okay, that's a good one. And what's the next one?
The next one is, it was in this week's parasha. Also, by the way, the reason why I know the Nesi'im in Parashas Bamidbar so well is my Rav Mitzvah parasha. I'm not just like,
oh, happy just, birthday. I
don't, yeah, the last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. 10 days ago. Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai.
That's a good one.
I mean, Shlumiel is a great one. I think it got a bad rep because of like Shmuel Kundo or something.
Shlumiel. Yeah, that's what I would think.
Shlumiel, Shlumazel. It gets, you know, but it's a good. I like it to see Shlumiel out there.
It's a nice sounding name. It flows.
By the way, if you talk about influence, yeah, or Shmuel Kundo. Oliver Shalom, I guess we should say, he had the influence to kind of kill a name. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, he had.
A really important question: Where would Rav Shmuel Kundo rank celebrity wise?
Oh, he's A list, but are we going
fantastic.
Past?
All right.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I mean, he's like a Mordechai Ben David level, you know.
All right, so my next pick is actually the second most popular name in the Torah. So apparently it was a really popular name at some point, but I guess people just stopped naming their kids this. But Utz. That there are three different people in the Torah who are all named Utz. Apparently it was a really popular name, and I guess, I don't know, people just stopped liking it.
I feel like that's a great nickname for a teenager with a lot of acne.
Utz?
Ooze.
Ooh. Well, yeah, that would be a little mean. But
either that, or we're all pronouncing the pretzel company wrong.
Yeah, it could be. And
okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, Joe, you're.
I'm picking between two. No, it's my second to last one. So don't get lost in the snake.
You said Mupim and Chupim. That should count for like 20.
You're saying it was that good, or the
and your first name was an item, not a name.
Yeah, so item? That made up for the first one. So
I hear that.
In total, whatever.
I've gone with two and a dud.
All right, so Joe, which animal are you going to say is a Jewish name that hasn't been in existence?
I have an additional reason for choosing it, other than the fact that it's a good name, which is Bufsi.
Oh, that's a good one.
I always felt like it was a really good name. Plus, in the English, it's spelled with a PH. So, I'm a big fan of that. spelling my own name with a PH. So it was one of the first names that came to me when we were talking about extinct names, because that's one that I think has literally no chance. It's not only random, it also sounds wrong.
I think that's one of the only names I've ever heard that starts with a V.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll bring up the rear. I guess I have my last two. Okay. This one is just a cool name, and I don't know why it fell out. Tradion.
Oh, Janina,
Hanania Ben Tradion? Yeah. Hanania Ben Tradion. Tradion. That's like a hood name.
Tradion is cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we know what your rap name is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess my last one. Okay, this one also I thought like should be a little bit more popular. Not sure why it went out, and I get it. It's another like father of Tana's name, but Azai.
For the record, Tanayim had killer names.
Yeah. Wild.
Oh, okay. So AY, you bring up a good point, and I want to get it out here before I forget. So forget about Tanayim. It's let's go to Amaram, like Abaye and Rava. So these are like Aramaic names. Were they like the equivalent of Mark and Jason?
Well, Abaye is like a little different, but I was thinking more like Papa.
No, but I'm saying these were like, it was the language that they spoke. So were their names like Mark or Jason? Like the what we how we would say like English names. So their Aramaic names were like English names. Was that what it is?
I feel like Rav and Abaye were like they're like Rebbe names, like they call like the Brisker Rav, the Rav, you know. Like I think that's they probably had like a full name, and they're like, oh, we're just gonna call him Rava because he's the, you know, the Rav.
That makes a lot of sense. I have to say.
I thought you were going somewhere else when you said Rebbe name. It was like whatever. He grew up modern. His name was really was Jake when he was growing up, and now he should be.
He could have made the NBA.
By the way, for all these picks, all those Bar Papas could have made this list.
Every single one.
Bar Papa, Murray Bar Papa. I mean, those are Murray.
That's a great list.
That stayed. Staying power.
There's nobody Murray anymore. They know who wears your socks, and that's about it.
All right, let's work it back around. Joe, your last name.
My last name was the first one that came up when I Googled funny Jewish names, and that's Gomer. It's Isaiah's wife. I don't think I need any
explanation. Gomer.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, Menachem. All right.
So my last pick is going to be Baal Hanan Ben Achbar. I don't know why, but I've always loved that name. It's been my favorite name. My favorite name in the entire Torah. I don't know. Like, how does someone even get that name? Like,
Menachem, you know what his nickname was? The Law Firm.
Not bad, not bad. But yeah, I don't know. I've always loved that one. All right.
That's a good one.
All right. AY, yours.
I'm deciding between two here. I'm going to have to go with one that I've always liked, even though there's a current person with that name. But like, there's only one person with that name. And I just would like to see more of them, if possible. Urin. Talking about Urin Reich. I don't know any. I mean, always been a favorite of mine. Every time you get Urin, look, it's just a classic for me, and I'd like to see more.
Okay, he's trying to introduce himself to someone. You're Urin.
Are we? Can I ask a question? Are we all in the trust tree right here? We're all in the trust tree. No judgments.
Yeah, sure. No judgments.
Okay. It took me a solid year to realize that Urin Reich wasn't his last name.
I think I had that too.
Like legitimately, I referred to him as that, and somebody once asked me his first name, and I said I don't know.
That's funny. Yeah, what is it? What is Urin, anyways? Like, where did it come from? Like, think about. I mean, none of us here really. I mean, I don't definitely know like Gantz Shas, but is there an Urin?
I feel like it's got to be somewhere.
I guess so, but yeah, I don't know the where it comes from, but it's just a great name.
There are people listening right now that are screaming at their phone, telling us where it is.
All right,
you know, I don't think there are.
tweet us at Back of the Shul. And chances are, if you have Twitter, you're not screaming at the phone right now.
It's in Bubba Basra. That's the lament of the days.
Okay. So, Ewai, thank you very much for hopping on. Thank you for being the inaugural guest. Where could people check you out, even though we've been talking about it for the entire episode?
It's my pleasure. So you can check me out on Twitter at aimhumor, AIMHUMOR. If you're not following, then you could. I have an Instagram by the same name where I just screenshot my tweets and put them on Instagram. So don't gain anything by following me on Instagram, but I don't know if you're an Instagram person, you're not going to get the whole AY experience if you're on Instagram. I'm just letting you know, because I don't screenshot everything. That's pretty much where to find me.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Everybody check out AY, funniest man on from Twitter. Take it however you want.
You don't have to.
All right. AY, thank you very much.
He says that to all the guests.